going to hell with your eyes open. Going to hell with your eyes open. And I want to take as my text the words of verse 15. For it's speaking about a man called Balaam, and it says he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. And again in verse 16, he says, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. In fact, you discover that on at least four occasions in these chapters 22 to 24, it is said of Balaam that he had his eyes open. These words were spoken by Balaam. They are a confession that his eyes were open to spiritual and eternal truths, that he knew them and he understood them. And yet as we read through these chapters, and indeed as we read through the Bible, on into the New Testament as well, we discover that Balaam was in fact a false prophet. And when Balaam died, he died in his sin, and his soul was lost and perished in that place called hell, where his weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a place of torment, where the worm or the memory dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You see, in Jude verse 11, speaking of apostates in his own day, Jude said this. He stated, woe unto them. They have gone the way of Cain. Those apostates who went the way of error, that followed the way of Cain. He says, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished. They perished. Their soul was lost in the gainsaying of Korah. Cain, Korah, and Balaam all perished. Their souls were lost. Their soul, when they died, went to hell. And there their soul still remains under the perdition for their sin and the judgment of God upon their ungodly ways. In that verse, Jude, verse 11, we are told that Balaam, he loved and counted financial gain and the applause of men, financial reward, and the applause of men more important than his soul salvation. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 15, we read of sinful men who have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the wages of sin, the financial gain of this world. He counted it more important than his soul. Therefore, in choosing the paths of sin, when he died, the Bible tells us of his death in Joshua 13 and 22. He was slain by Israel when they were conquering the land of Canaan. He was numbered among the enemies of God and God's people. And when Israel conquered the land, they put him to death, and he died in his sin, and his soul perished in hell. Be under no disillusionment tonight. Balaam is in hell. And yet, during his lifetime, he had an experience with God. He had an experience whereby his eyes were open to spiritual and eternal truth. That experience is recorded between Numbers chapter 22 and Numbers chapter 24. Balak, the king of Moab, could see Israel coming close to the borders of his land as they journeyed through the wilderness unto the land of Canaan. He was fearful. He was fearful that they would invade his land, that they would conquer his people, that he would lose his position and his power. And so he had heard of Balaam, this prophet of divination, this false prophet who dabbled in the occult, and he hired him. He offered him money and wages if he would leave his place, and he would come and he would put a satanic curse upon Israel and upon the people of God so that they would not prosper and they would not conquer the land, Moab. Balaam tried. He tried his best to curse God's people. And yet the answer came back, how can I curse what God has blessed? It's not my purpose tonight to speak on this subject, but you don't believe the lie that the redeemed of the Lord can be put under some satanic or evil curse. Balaam tried with all his might. Balaam tried with the assistance of those satanic forces, and he could only conclude, how can I curse what God has blessed when God has redeemed you, when God has saved you, when God has delivered you? You can't come under the satanic curse. Balaam couldn't do it. He couldn't curse the people of God, for the Lord had redeemed them. And yet when he tried, and when he tried his best, the Lord appeared to him. The Lord revealed himself to him. Balaam was shown. His eyes were open to gospel truth. And yet with his eyes open, he still died in his sin. And his soul was lost and perished in hell. And I believe there are multitudes like Balaam. They are going to hell with their eyes open. They know and have had, as it were, taught to them. They have learned the gospel truths. They have heard about them. And in that sense, their eyes are open. And yet, for some reason, they are still on the broad road that is leading to and heading to destruction. I wonder, does that describe you? You're a young person in the meeting tonight. You're an older person. And your eyes have been opened to gospel and eternal truth. But you're still on the broad road. I tell you, you can go to hell with your eyes open, knowing exactly who you are, where you're headed, and what awaits you at the end of your earthly journey. I pray tonight, my plea is that as we look at this man Balaam, and in what sense his eyes were open, you will flee from the state he found himself in, and you find yourself in, and you will not only have a knowledge of the Almighty in your head, but you'll have the experience of salvation in your heart. I'm asking the question, and I'm trying to answer it tonight. What were Balaam's eyes open to? And I'm summing them up in three ways. His eyes were open, firstly, to the truth of God's word. He makes mention of it in verse 16. Of the passage we read together. He has said, Balaam said, which heard the words of God. Here was a man, and he heard the word of God. And he knew the knowledge of the Most High. Oh, think about it. There were multitudes in the days of Balaam, and they'd never heard the truth of God. They'd never read the word of God. They'd never had it revealed to them. But here's a sinner. And he hears God's word. What a privilege that was. And let me tell you tonight, if you've heard the word of God, it's a privilege. It's a blessing. He had a knowledge. He had a mental understanding of the Most High God. And if you look back to Numbers chapter 22, you'll see the extent of it. Look at Numbers 22, verse 17 and 18. Now, verse 17 contains a bribe. It's the bribe of Balak. For you see, let me just explain. When Balak initially sent for Balaam and asked him to come and curse Israel, Balaam refused. The Lord appeared to him and told him he wasn't to go. And Balaam refused. You'll see it in verse 12. God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. That's Numbers 22 and verse 12. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. You can't curse what I've blessed. The devil and the false prophets, they can't curse what God has blessed. They can't do it. And he tells Balak this. Then, in verse 17, Balak wouldn't take no for an answer. And he says, for I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. I'll promote you to honor. Oh, Balak, now he's like the old devil, isn't he? He's offering honor. He's offering pleasure. He's offering wealth. He's offering whatever Balaam wants if he will dishonor and disobey the word of God that has been revealed to him. Verse 18, you'll note it, Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me a house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. You put it together. God came unto Balaam in verse 9. He's revealed himself to him. He has spoken to him. Balaam knows that God is true, that God exists, that God is real. He knows also that the word of God is authoritative, that it is has authority over all men and over him. And verse 18 is an acknowledgement that no matter what Balak offers or says, the word of God should be obeyed. The word of God has been given. I cannot go beyond, and it sounds good. I can't go beyond the word of the Lord, my God. Balaam's an ungodly man, and yet he still acknowledges he's under the authority of Jehovah. He's under the authority of God. God is his creator. God has spoken to him, and he's duty bound to obey the word of God. Oh, men and women, listen, young people, God's word has authority over you. What God has declared and decreed in His Word is to be adhered to, is to be believed, and is to be acted upon and told forth. And Balaam seems to have a good response. I can't go beyond it. And yet, Balaam's problem was that while he heard the word of God, and he acknowledged its authority over him, and he accepted the reality of God, who his existence, who had given him this word. While he didn't deny God and deny the word of God, his problem was that he disobeyed the word of God. He didn't obey it. He went with the princes of Moab. You read through these verses. He went with those princes. He set up altars in the mountains. He tried to curse Israel. He didn't deny God or His word, but he disobeyed it. I wonder, does that describe you? Oh, listen, how many Balaams are there in society in 2019? The world has been full of Balaams throughout the ages. Men and women, boys and girls, who have heard the word of God. They have a knowledge of the Most High. They know that God exists and that He's real. They don't deny His existence. They don't believe the lie of atheism. And maybe you're the same. You wouldn't try to be so foolish as to say, we came from monkeys. We evolved. And the world happened just by accident. This big bang and everything fell into place and it just all happened by accident. You wouldn't drink in that nonsense or that lie. You know that God created the heaven and the earth. You know that the Bible is God's word. You know that the way of salvation as taught in this word, in the book, is the right way. You know the old apostates are wrong when they tell you you can get to heaven by being a good person, by going to church, by taking the sacraments, by living by a moral code, and everybody's going to get there anyway of every religion and every creed. You know it's a lie of the devil. You know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know that's the true way. You know that there's a heaven and a hell. A heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you wouldn't argue with any of it. You know that it's applicable and authoritative to you. But you've never yet obeyed the gospel. The gospel's claim in your life is repent and believe. That's what Jesus preached when he came into Galilee and he began his ministry. Repent of your sin with sorrow. Turn away from it. Turn unto the Lord. Cry for pardon and forgiveness. Believe the gospel message that the blood of Jesus will wash your sin away when you call upon him. He'll redeem you. He'll regenerate you. He'll renew you. Oh, you have your eyes open. You know the truth of God's word. But as yet, you have not obeyed. You haven't repented and believed. Let me tell you, if that describes you, you're still on the road to hell. Doesn't matter that you would sit either regularly or occasionally in a Free Presbyterian church or another church that preaches the gospel. It matters not that your family members are on the way to heaven. It matters not any of these things, but my friend, you can know the Bible till it's coming out your ears. But if you don't obey it, I tell you, you'll be lost. The story of Jerry Lee Lewis, one of the rock and roll singers of the 50s and 60s, it's a tragedy. Jerry Lee Lewis was brought up in the gospel, and it is said that as he traveled with other singers on his tours around the States, he used to preach to them. And he could preach the gospel as well as any Southern Baptist or Pentecostal preacher. And yet he knew in his heart, and he would tell his friends and his fellow singers, that he was on the road to hell because he had never obeyed the gospel. My friend, you could preach it, but if you haven't acted upon it, you're on the road to hell with your eyes wide open. Oh, Balaam had his eyes open to the truth of God's word. Let me say, secondly, Balaam had his eyes open to the triumph of God's people. When Balaam accompanied the princes of Moab to meet with Balak in Kirjath-Huzath, the angel, of course, would have smote him only for the old donkey, the old ass that turned aside out of the way, and Balaam got off and he beat that ass. And then the ass spoke to him and his eyes were open and he saw the angel, and the angel had the sword ready to smite him. He saw the Lord, the angel of the Lord. And yet, for all of that, he continued in his disobedience and he went on to meet with Balak. When he met with that king, he built 7 altars and prepared to sacrifice and prophesy a curse on Israel. Yet as he did so, the Lord gave him another vision of Israel. He gave him a view of Israel as to how blessed they were. And you'll read about it in chapter 23 and verses 7 to 10. I want you to notice verse 9 and 10. He saw a view of how blessed the people of God are. And this is a blessing that can be as applicable to the people in our day and generation. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Try, let me read verse 9. Reading verse 10. Verse 8 is a wonderful verse too. How can I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? He couldn't do it. Could not do it. For from the top of the rocks I see him. From the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone. Here's their blessing. They were a separated people. And shall not be reckoned among the nations. We're a unique people. Who can count the dust of Jacob and number the fourth part of Israel? They were an enlarged people, a vast people, and the company of God's redeemed is innumerable in heaven. And he says this, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. God give him a view of how his people die. And I tell you, God's people die in triumph. God's people die in victory. It was Charles Wesley, it may have been John, the brother, who made the statement, our people die well. And I want to tell you, God's people die well. They die with a great provision. Let me die, he says, the death of the righteous. And when God's people die, they die righteous. That's the righteousness of the gospel imputed to them, whereby they are accepted by God as saved, pardoned, forgiven. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, Paul said, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Apostle Paul spoke in Philippians 3 and 9 about that gospel righteousness that was provided for Christ, that saving righteousness that the sinner receives when he puts his faith and trust in the Lord. Let me read it for you, Philippians chapter 3 and the verse 9. Paul says, oh, that he would be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And when a sinner believes to the saving of his soul, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is counted for his righteousness, God accepts that sinner as pardoned, forgiven, justified. And he dies righteous before the Lord. And therefore he's accepted by the Lord. You'll notice that he speaks about the death of the righteous. They die not only with a great provision, righteousness, but they die with a great prospect. Let my last end be like his. My friend, your state in this earth is not your final state. Let my last end, my last state, my final eternal state be like his. What is the eternal state of the believer? It is to be in the presence of Christ forever, to be redeemed and completely free from sin, its power, its influence, its corrupting effects, to be glorified with Christ, to reign and dwell with him forever and ever. And Balaam can see this, that Israel, the redeemed of the Lord, they would die with a provision of righteousness that would save them from their sins. They would enter into an eternal state where they would be with Christ in his peace forever and ever, victorious over sin and hell and the grave. I believe Balaam knew that the sinner died differently. The sinner dies under condemnation. The sinner dies guilty for his own sin. The sinner dies to be condemned to hell forever, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the soul will be in torment forever. According to Luke 16, Balaam could see and he understood, and his eyes were open to the difference and the contrast in the saved man dying and the sinner dying. And he made that plea, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. Yet the tragedy was he died in his sin. He didn't die the death of the righteous. He died and went to hell, and this prayer was never answered or fulfilled. Why? Because he wouldn't repent of his sin, be numbered among among the people of God and trust in the Messiah and Redeemer. I believe there are men and women and they know the difference and what it means to die, saved, redeemed, forgiven, pardoned. And oh, the bliss of heaven that entails and will bring to the redeemed one. To be with Christ, which is far better. To enter into heaven where there is no more sin, no more sorrow. Tears are wiped away forever. It is a place of holiness and happiness. A place of eternal bliss and eternal joy. No more separation. No more curse. No more tears. And there are men and women and they know to die in their sin would mean they'll bear the judgment and the penalty of their sins in hell forever and forever. Their eyes are open to it. And yet, is it like Balaam? Because you love the wages of righteousness, you love the earthly, temporal, worldly things, the gain of this world, the pleasure of this world, the sin of this world, that you refuse to take that step and venture your all in Christ and give your soul to Him. My friend, don't go to hell with your eyes wide open. How tragic it will be. What a sad eternity. I say genuinely, may it not be yours. There's a final thought. Balaam's eyes were not only open to the truth of God's word, they were open not only to the triumph of God's people in death, but they were open finally to the terror of God's judgment. Just look at Numbers chapter 24, the passage that we read, and he speaks about hearing the words of God and knowing the knowledge of the Most High, which he saw in a vision. What was that vision that he had? Oh, Balaam's a unique character. His experience is unique. And yet, in a sense, it is applicable to men and women. But what was that vision that he had? Look at verse 17. I shall see him. Who should he see? Well, he names him. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. The star speaks about one that is shining bright. The scepter is the scepter of rule and power and authority. He goes on to describe him in verse 19. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. He's one that shall rule and reign. He's the star. He's the scepter. He's the sovereign. Who is Balaam talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's the star of Bethlehem. He's the scepter of Judah. He's the one that shall reign and have dominion from sea to sea. He's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I shall see him. Balaam would see the Lord. But do you notice what he adds? I shall see him, but not now. Not now. Not in this time. I see him, but not now in this age. Not now in the days of my flesh, but I see him as the star and the scepter and the sovereign. What's he talking about? When would Balaam see the Lord? The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, there's coming a day. It says in Revelation 1 verse 7, behold, he cometh. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, everyone. Every eye will behold him. I believe that Balaam, when he said, I shall see him, but not now, he's speaking words of prophecy relating to himself. He would see him one day in all his glory. He would see him when he returns. And what is the Lord returning to do? Oh yes, he's going to reign with his people. He's going to usher in that eternal blissful state. But he is also going to judge the living and the dead. Just look back at that verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. Notice the next bit. I shall behold him. I'll not only see him, but I'll behold him, but not nigh. In other words, I'll behold him, but I'll not be near unto him. I believe Balaam is speaking about how he will see the Lord as the judge of all the earth and the judge of sinners. The first Psalm tells us what will happen to the ungodly in that day of judgment. For it tells us the ungodly are not so. They're not like the righteous man, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, when the nations are gathered before the Lord. And when they are judged by the Lord, the sinner will not be found in the congregation of the righteous. They'll be like the chaff, they'll be driven away, and they'll hear that sentence, depart from me. He would see the star of Jacob. He would see the scepter of Judah. He would see the Messiah who would have dominion, but not now. He'd see him at the time of judgment, and he would not be nigh unto him, for he would hear those words, depart from me, ye cursed. It into everlasting flames. He had a vision of the judgment day. His eyes were open to it. And what it would mean for a sinner to stand before the Lord. My friend, you're not saved, and yet you've heard the judgment preached on the great white throne, how the Lord before him will be gathered all nations. The dead shall rise. The sea will give up the dead that are in it. And the books will be opened, and every man will be judged out of those books, how they lived, the sins they committed, the rejection of the Lord, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. And yet with knowing about it and understanding it and hearing it, yet tonight you're still on the broad road, your eyes are open to it, but you're on the way to hell. I close tonight with the invitation. I entreat you. I implore you. You're not like those in the darkest tribes in South America or Africa that have never been touched or never been reached with the gospel. They're dying without the law. And they'll perish without law. But you all, you have your eyes open to gospel truth. God has showed you His Word. He has shown you His way of salvation. Why do you remain in your sin? For I tell you, the Bible declares, and Jesus said, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Your judgment, if you die in your sins with your eyes open, your judgment, your hell will be a greater punishment than the hell of the man that has never heard the gospel. Therefore tonight, I encourage you, I invite you, the words of Christ, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The burden of a lost eternity, does it not weigh heavy on your heart? Does it not have you laden down? The thought of meeting God in your sin, being judged for your sins, perishing forever, does it not weigh heavy upon your heart? Then come in faith and repentance, bow the knee and call upon the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.